It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Marcus Charleston, in for Paul Guggenheimer. Last week's bike festival included a ride through all of the city's neighborhoods, including the South Hills section of Overbrook. As part of her monthly focus on neighborhoods, contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, looks at Overbrook. Hello, Rebecca.
Hey, it's great to be here with you, Marcus, and nice to see you there.
Thank you. Well, one of the best ways to know about the neighborhood's present is by looking at its past.
Yeah.
So let's begin our look at Overbrook this week, looking at its historical background. What do you got for us?
Okay, great. Well, it was originally called Fair Haven, which was an interesting name. And the name was changed to Overbrook when it was breaking away from the Baldwin Township to become a borough. And Overbrook Borough was one of the last to be annexed into the city of Pittsburgh. And it was a pretty tough place, as I understand. It wasn't an easy place to live. And a couple of very interesting things. The first saloon in Fairhaven was owned by a guy named Thomas Hardy, and it was located on a place called 18 Acres. This was later turned into a residence, and there was this great saloon. So there you go. If you know, head up there, that's a good thing to look for. But there was also a building called Rhinefuse Dwellings, which was across from the railroad tracks from the Pittsburgh Railway Station in 1890. And there was also a dancing pavilion there. But here's what happened. There was a big smallpox epidemic, which started in Fairhaven in 1893. And what happened was watchmen were posted day and night around the afflicted homes. And there was a doctor there named Dr. Kirk, and he and his horsemen erected a huge tent in the center of the area, and they lived there the whole time so he could take care of the victims. Now, if you're an animal lover, you're not going to want to hear this, but whenever they came in touch with cats, they shot all the cats to prevent the spread of the disease. So there's a little history for you, Marcus.
That's just wrong, Rebecca.
I know. You know, you never would know what I'm going to come up with when I give you the history of these places. So there you go.
Well, I think of Tom Hardy. I think the author of Far From the Madding Crowd.
Yeah. No, and that certainly was not the same one. No. Definitely not. So, right.
Okay, let's look at the demographics of Overbrook. Yeah. Is that young couples, older couples, hipsters?
Right.
What's going on there?
What's interesting is when you look at Overbrook, it's located on the edge of the city. It's south of downtown. It's surrounded by the city neighborhoods of Brooklyn and Carrick and the boroughs of Castle Shannon and Whitehall. And historically, Overbrook Borough was, as we said, one of the last ones that was annexed into the city. And it has representation on the Pittsburgh City Council by District 4. And it's had an influx of younger families in the recent years. It's about 0.8 square miles. And the population from the 2010 census was about 3,600 people. So it's a nice size, pretty steady.
Do they have a downtown? Do they have a main street?
It's interesting. There are some main businesses, but in the sense really more of it's really convenient to Phillips and Brookline Parks, and as well it's convenient to Brownsville Road and Brookline Boulevard, which are really the business districts, and that's how you really look at it. It's an easy trip on the South Busways to downtown, to Station Square, to Century 3, and to South Hills Village Mall. So it doesn't have in the same sense of what we think of as a real, that kind of business district. Here's a very interesting economic development organization that I think is very unique. It's called the Economic Development South. It's a unique multi-municipal corridor-based community development corporation that encompasses a significant portion of South Pittsburgh and the South Hills. And the member communities are the boroughs of Brentwood, Baldwin, Whitehall, Mount Oliver, Pleasant Hills, Jefferson Hills, and the City of Pittsburgh neighborhoods Carrick and Overbrook and Brookline. And together, these make up about 100,000 residents and about 3,200 businesses. So the coalition has really put together a lot of their shared commercial corridors. They've really worked on Route 51, Sawmill Run Boulevard, and Brownsville Road. And the idea is you connect the communities, you connect the shared interests, you connect the commercial base.
So together, they're stronger.
Yes.
Rising tide, raising all boats.
Absolutely.
So to speak.
And I think that's really a smart idea. And I hadn't heard about anything like that before. So that was interesting. There's the Overbrook Community Council, the Carrick Overbrook Block Watch, the Carrick Tree Tenders. So I think that's kind of neat. And then there's a number of houses of worship, too. So it's really nice.
Okay. I don't think we can top shooting cats.
Oh, we can. We can. We can. I promise. Right.
Okay. So, so tell our listeners about some interesting historical facts.
Right. Right. Well, this one is not too historical, but did you know that recently there was a huge sinkhole that formed in Overbrook, and it was swallowing cars? No, I'm really serious, Marcus. I am. The sinkhole formed because of the rushing water from a broken 30-inch water main, and we have some of the photos available on the links on the WESA website. But this water main was installed in the 1960s, and it really did some damage. But what the positive about this is that one of the main features that bisects the Overbrook neighborhood is Sawmill Run, and it's an urban stream that passes underneath one of the major sewage connectors for Alcosan. And what is good that's happening now is there's some real important environmental engineering and a look at what's happening with Sawmill Run. And because there has been a lot of flooding every time there's rainfall, they're working now to really alleviate and to reduce the sewage runoffs and reduce the flooding by developing some green infrastructure in the area and to deal with the overflows and looking at different swales and different ways to deal with it and putting in rocks and soils and plants that will hold water. So there you go. I knew you wouldn't believe that either, but there it is, Marcus.
No, but it's a good note to end on, that they're turning that negative into a positive.
Absolutely.
It's not only going to help that neighborhood, but others as well.
Absolutely. And as we know from a lot of the neighborhoods that we looked at in Pittsburgh, floodwaters are really a concern, and as those of you who have studied this know, you have to take them very seriously.
It's a definite problem they need to look into.
Yeah.
Rebecca Harris is the director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, Marcus.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Are you ready for some football? Tribune Review investigative reporter Andrew Conte will be occupying the host chair tomorrow. Among his guests will be author Greg Nichols, whose book Striking Gridiron chronicles the 1950s winning streak of the Braddock High Tigers.
I was doing some research in Western Pennsylvania for another potential book project. And while I was in this town of Braddock, really focusing on the decline of the steel industry, a resident came up to me with a stack of papers, like literally a stack of papers, and said, "You want a story? I got a story for you. Here's your story." Dropped it in my lap and said, "Write about that."
Thursday, WESA board member Tom Petzinger takes a look at the biotech industry in Pittsburgh. Do we have what it takes to compete with Boston or the Bay Area?
I would say yes. If you look at the statistics with employment in the region, it's already there. It's already happening with eds and meds. Life sciences is a part of that. The hospitals definitely drive the employment locally, but life sciences is sort of catching on and part of the education and medical sectors, which are really driving the economy locally.
Tom will pose that question to some of the leading players in the biotech industry here in Pittsburgh. I'm producer Marcus Charleston, in for Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.